How's everyone today? I hope that you are well indeed. It's a good-looking crowd here this morning. I hope you've had an opportunity to meet everyone that you do not know, and certainly want to challenge you to do that sometime during the service or the following of the service today. This is Plus One Sunday, where I know that many of you have invited guests to be with us, and we're delighted that you're here with us, and we'll greet you a little bit more formally in just a couple minutes. Before we do that, let me give you a couple of announcements. Next week, I don't think this is in your bulletin, but next week is Youth Sunday. So come prepared to have a good time and worship with our kids, and they are going to be sharing their experiences that they had in Jamaica. Some of the stories that I've already heard are, it was truly life-changing, not only for our young people, the adults that went with them, but some of the people that they encountered there. So come, be prepared to hear some great stories about life-changing events that took place in Jamaica and how God used our kids and our adults to be ministers there. So that's next Sunday morning. The following Sunday morning is May 6th. There's several things going on May 6th. It's kind of a busy weekend. I know that the Dulcimer Festival will be here at the church that weekend, but also on that Sunday morning, we will have a called conference during the Sunday school hour. Okay, did everyone hear me? It will be during the Sunday school hour in Smith Hall. All right, so there will be no Sunday school classes that morning. There'll be except children, I think, but the adults will be meeting in Smith Hall together to see presentation and have a vote on proceeding with our building plan. So on Wednesday nights between now and then, our finance committee and facility update will be talking about some of the recommendations in regard to financing. I know there's been a pledging process that's been going on, and you may wonder where we are in that. They're going to kind of bring us up to date on that. So you also will be receiving a letter from me this week that will give kind of highlights of some of the points that they'll be making. So look for that. If you have any questions, be sure and call me or anybody that's on finance or facilities update, because we want everybody to know exactly what's at stake and what we're voting on. Oh, 2 weeks from today, okay? Not next week, but the following week, 2 weeks from today. On that same day, on May the 6th, in the afternoon, we'll have our Spring Fling, which is a great festival time that we have games out in the yards and a lot of things and food, and Jeff will be talking more about that next week, but that's a big event in the life of our church. And associated with that, the GAs will have some baskets there for silent auction. You know, our RAs and GAs are very involved in missions and missions activities. And the GAs would like for me to thank everyone who's provided a theme basket so far for that auction. They already have 15 baskets. So some of these are quite extraordinary. It's really neat things that they've done with them. They have 15 of them. Don't forget, they ask you not to forget, please come by the table on May 6th to bid on your favorite basket. They make wonderful gifts, and you know that the proceeds will go toward missions. So a wonderful opportunity for us. Speaking of missions, Mr. Roger Jones would like to say a word about our home mission project in Winterville, Grifton area, the week of July 4th, and he has assured me that he doesn't need a microphone, so we'll see if that's true. Go ahead, buddy.
Good morning. That's good to spot. Well, this is the time of the year that we prepare ourselves for our summer mission project. The fund is open. We've got a goal of $28,000 that we've got to raise. We've been in contact with our people down in eastern North Carolina, the Grifton Mission Ministries in Pitt County. And I talked to the director of the planning board this week, and everything is moving along very nicely. The house that we will be replacing is already condemned. But they're going to allow the family to live in it until we build the new house. It's for Mrs. Waller and her daughter and two grandchildren. So there'll be four people in this home. And they are about five blocks from where we built last year in Winterville. And we need your help. We'll be posting items on the board that we need donations. As you know, we had the yard sale this year, and we cleaned out everything So we really don't have any furniture items, and you'll need to be attentive to that and help us where you can and sign up to go. The main thing is we need your support for this project again this year. It went well last year, and it's going to go even better this year. We know what all the regulations are regarding the inspections, and I've been assured that they're going to work with us even better this coming year. So we're looking forward to that. I met with the town manager while we were there, their attorney while we were there. Barbie and I were down 2 weeks ago and met with other people. So things are moving along. Put it on your prayer list and work hard to help us get there. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger. You'll also see on the back of your order of service several upcoming events, which we're not going to read to you, but we hope that you'll take that with you and be sure and mark your calendar about those events that are upcoming in the life of the church. This is Plus One Sunday, and again, want to extend a greeting to those of you who are guests with us today. We are delighted that you're here. I hope that you've met some of our people already, but our ushers are going to come to the front, and as they return back down the aisle, if you are a guest, we ask that you catch their attention either by just waving at them a little bit or a raised hand or just catching their eye and letting them know that you'd like to receive some of the information that they're going to be giving you, which is in a packet form. There's a letter that I've put in there to just general greeting, and there's also a lot of information about the ministries of the church. So we're delighted that you're here with us today. And members, as always, notice where our guests are. And be sure and greet them and extend that warm welcome that College Park is known for. Again, we're delighted that you're here. Jeff is away, so when it comes time for children's time, I invite the children, if you would, come join me here at the front. But between now and then, we want to begin a time of preparation for worship. It's been a busy week, a lot of things going on. And as you come together, I invite you just to kind of clear your mind of all the distractions. Let God speak to you, minister to you. Let the songs that we will sing be an offering of praise that you can offer up to God. Let the scripture as it's being read speak to your heart so that you can truly be ministered to today. So as we begin in a time of worship and preparation for worship, I invite you now to join your hearts together for the call to worship.
Our Lord and our God, we come to you this morning because you are great. Lord, we praise you this morning because you are a holy God, yet you love us with an unconditional love. Lord, we thank you for the many, many things that you've given us. And Lord, we know we are so unworthy, and that you are worthy of all of our praise. Lord, we thank you for your presence here with us this morning. And Lord, we ask in the coming moments, Lord, that our words, that our songs, that our prayers, Lord, that our attitudes would bring you honor, and glory. Thank you for being in this place. Help us to worship you with heart and soul and mind and strength, because you are a great and mighty and glorious God. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I want to invite our children, if they would, come on down. Have a seat right there. Hey, buddy. That's a good-looking jersey there. Who's on the back of that? What's it say?
Edwards.
Okay. All right. How are y'all doing? Do you like the rainy weather? Pay attention here.
You guys focus right here on me, okay?
All right. You're not having a good day? You don't like bad weather? Well, do you remember when Jeff asked you to do something? I think it was back around Christmas when he asked you to do something about. Oh, no, it was Valentine's Day, wasn't it? Do you remember what it was?
He gives that candy away to a friend that you don't get along with.
Someone you didn't get along with. How many of you did that? Did you give your candy to someone you didn't get along?
No.
Most of you didn't. But next time you will, won't you? Mm-hmm. You ate your candy, and well, okay. Well, how do you get along? What's the best thing to do? What's the best thing to do when you don't get along with someone?
Be nice.
Be nice. That's a good suggestion. It really is. Or try to be nice. Yeah. So, there's more truth there than you try to be nice to them, and there's a reason why we do that. Okay, it's because that pleases God.
Do you remember Jesus when he was always talking about peace? Do you know what peace is? You know what peace is?
I'm doing peace right now.
Yeah, peace. Peace, man. What?
Peace out.
Peace out. Okay, that's the title of the sermon. What does that mean when you say peace out, though? You're going away. But while you're going, you want people to have peace, right?
Yes.
Okay. And that's, Jesus talked about peace a lot. And I'm going to talk about that a lot, about 11:30. Yeah, some of you will be in here and some of you won't. But Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, sit still. In the Gospel of Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said this. Listen. He says, you're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. Yeah. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. Listen to that again. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you'll discover who you really are and your place in God's family. Another translation said, blessed are the peacemakers, for you will be called sons of God. Okay? So Jesus wants us to be peacemakers. Can we agree on that much? And sometimes that's really hard. That's really hard. But we can do that with Jesus' help. That means when people make fun of you or they're mean to you, you're nice to them. Okay? And it's hard to do sometimes, like Jeff was talking about when he was challenging to give the candy away. Sometimes it's really hard. Yeah, it was a little box of candy.
And then we got the huge box.
Then it had the big ones. That's right. It's kind of a reward. Well, there's a lot to be said for peace, isn't there? There's a lot to be said for peace. You know what my favorite kind of peace is, though? Piece of candy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeff gave you pieces of candy, and I'm going to give you.
Hang on.
Let him have his candy. All right. I'm going to give you a piece of candy as a reminder to you to be peacemakers at school, okay? It's a reminder to be peacemakers at school, all right? So we'll give these, and the way we're going to do it is very orderly in a peaceful way. We're going to distribute this. These are ring pops, okay?
I want that one. Okay. I want red.
All right.
Can I have an extra one to give away?
No, you can't. Not on this deal. There you go.
Can I have this one?
Yes, you can. You can trade out. Would you like one?
I want one like Cam.
All right, everybody have one? All right, hold what you got right a sec. Right quick. Have a seat right there.
I want one like Cam.
All right. Now, you can trade after the service. If you don't like the color you got, we'll trade after the service, all right? But let's have a prayer. I did, from the Pastor's Pal store. Hold the wrappers real quiet. Let's pray and ask for Jesus' help to be peacemakers, okay? Dear Father, thank you for this day and these beautiful children and their excitement, their enthusiasm. And we pray that as they go, that they would truly understand what it means to be peacemakers, to be nice to those who are mean to them and do that for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid.
Before we have our time of prayer together, I want to kind of give you an update. Wednesday night, I know I shared with many of you about Robert Blankenship's wife, Dusty. Dusty has come back home. She is at the home. That's really not a statement about improvement. It's more about comfort at this point. She's still very, very sick. And
We're praying for a miracle, whatever that looks like, and whatever God desires in that regard, because she's very sick. So if you all would please remember Robert and his children and Dusty as they're working through a lot of things. We also want to let you know that Cam Cashville went on to be with the Lord yesterday afternoon about 1 o'clock. And so we will be having a service here at the church, most likely Wednesday morning. But if you can, just watch the newspaper, as well as you can call the church office after noon tomorrow, and we should have all the arrangements there. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we come together and there's so many things that we're thinking about and many times very troubled about. People that we know that are experiencing heartache and hopelessness, or so it appears. We know some of our people who have lost loved ones this week or who are at the brink of saying goodbye to those that they love so deeply. And sometimes we're not really sure how to pray about the specifics in those cases, because we don't fully know all the circumstances. We can't see the whole picture. But God, we know that you do. You are a God that cares about every detail of our lives. You are a God that loves us so much, and we can't fully understand that either, because we fail you on a regular basis, but yet you extend your love, your comfort, your peace to us. And we pray that as we seek to minister to those who are hurting around us, that we would do it through your strength and through your power. We pray that you would allow us to see people through your eyes and minister in your name. God, there's so much grief and heartache that sometimes too it overshadows all the blessings that you send our way. And so we pray now that you would remind us of all the blessings that we've received this week. Precious Father, we love you. We thank you. We pray that our lives would honor you through the things that we say and the things that we do, the thoughts that we allow to take hold of our lives. Father, we pray for your strength as we continue in a time of worship, that your Spirit would lead us and guide us as we give praise to you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray.
Now, as we've been driving around the last two or three weeks and seeing all the trees blooming, budding out, all the flowers and bushes and plants flowering in the green grass, how can there be any doubt about the creator of this world? Would you pray with me? Dear Father, we praise your holy name. We praise you as the creator of life, as the giver of every good gift, as the worker of miracles. We praise you as Lord God Almighty, our sovereign and holy God. Father, we thank you for your endless flow of blessings. Help us to be generous as we return to you these tithes and offerings. Lord, help us to use all the gifts that you give us, our money, our talents, our time, so that your light does shine all around the world. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
and out of situations that talk of war in me. All day long I struggle for answers that I need. Then I come into his presence, and all my questions become clear. And for a sacred moment, no doubt can intervene in the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended. Look away and breathe his name. He will come and meet you there. In the presence of Jehovah.
What a powerful text. I don't know if you read along as they were singing. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. Wow. We talk a lot about peace. That's not a new topic, just so you'll know. Last week, in our reading. Every time Jesus appeared to the disciples, you notice kind of the first words out of his mouth had to do with peace. Peace be with you. And it continues. The theme continues today. So in the reading today, when I read that in the first verse that we were going to read in the lectionary reading in verse 36, it's there again. And there's a lot of ways, I mean, there's a lot of rabbits I could chase in this passage of Scripture. There's a lot of ways that we could kind of take apart and put back together what was going on in these verses. But I'm going to read the passage to you, and then we're going to kind of end up talking about peace, because I think maybe we didn't get there fully last week, so we're going to try to get there this week. So let's read together. It's in Luke chapter 24, Luke 24, beginning in verse 36. It says technically verse 36b, but I'll start at the first part of 36. And to give you a context, you remember last week we were talking about all the different ways that Jesus appeared to his followers following the resurrection. Well, this continues in chapter 24 of Luke. On the road to Emmaus, there's an encounter between some followers and Jesus and the experiences they had there. And they're still kind of talking about that, and that's what sets the context for where we read today. It says, while they were still talking about this, as in the encounter on the road to Emmaus, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, again, here's those four words, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, they asked him, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate it in their presence. Now, you remember last week we talked about the significance of him eating in terms of his physical body, eating in front of them. It continues here. And he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that's written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. There's about six sermons there in those verses, when there really are. But as I said, we're going to kind of land on peace and talk about peace a little bit. As the children said, you know, peace out is a popular expression for saying, I'm leaving. But with that comes a good wish, peace out. And it could almost go back to Jesus in terms of kind of how he addressed his disciples, some instructions he made with them. But it brings to my mind a couple of questions. What happened about peace? What happened to peace? I mean, what about peace on earth? What happened with all that? Everything looks so promising. Jesus refers to the prophets and the Psalms and all of those things. Things that would be prophecies that would be fulfilled in him. And so you have things like Isaiah identifying the Messiah as the Prince of Peace. And then you have Micah envisioning the Messiah restoring creation to its original shalom. Peace. And so with that in the background, you have Jesus, you have the risen Christ repeatedly greeting his followers saying, peace be with you, or peace be with you. Always. And last week, again, always seemed to be saying that. He says it in today's passage. And as was read earlier in John chapter 14, He told him before he was crucified, he said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Jesus spoke of his legacy, of his ministry in terms of peace. Peace be with you. So what happened?
What happened to peace? What sidetracked the advance of the peace of Christ? What usurped the reign of peace? And what, if anything, with the help of God and with the power of the risen Christ, can we do to recover peace or to experience it, to realize it for the first time? Well, I don't know all the story. I really don't. I don't know all the story of what happened, but I think I've got a pretty good handle on a few pieces along the way. We can discover what happened to peace by focusing on what happened to the three foundations of the Christian life. I'm referring to what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm referring to those foundations of faith, hope, and love. And then he goes on to say, and the greatest of these is love. Yeah, so it occurs to me that if we're taking care of faith, hope, and love, and have them in their proper perspective, in their proper place in our life, then we ought to be able to realize peace. Does that make sense? Makes sense to me. So again, that question comes to mind then, so what happened? What happened along the way? Well, let me give you part of what happened. Part of what happened is that we politicized and institutionalized peace. Excuse me, faith. We politicized and institutionalized faith. The great theologian Bono said, Christianity began as family. It began as family. Then it was institutionalized. The state made it proper. Then, in recent centuries, we've turned it into a business. Faith, the things of Christ, began as family. Then it was institutionalized. I think that the whole, maybe it started innocently enough, you know, a proper emphasis on the importance of belief led to an affirmation of the significance of convictions. And those convictions are those beliefs that a person holds sacrosanct, those bottom line things, the tenets that dictate what are important in life and what are important in our faith. So people who prized convictions then placed a premium on certainty, on an ability to say, without a doubt, we are right. And all who disagree with us are therefore, or let me give you another word, unright. Just. Ooh. See how quick we took that step? If they don't agree with us because we are right, just. If they don't agree with us, they must be unright, just. And at that point, a movement that initially emphasized inclusion became exclusive. With the mindset of a rigidly prescribed orthodoxy, then, to view another person as different is to label them as spiritually inadequate, to say the least. Backslider, whatever other words we want to throw in there. And see, within Christianity, as that happens, a healthy evangelism deteriorated into a kind of a sick militarism. You see, claiming the cross, and we all know the stories of the Crusades, and it's kind of a dark place in Christendom, but what happened, see, that they claimed the cross as their justification, and then they decided they were going to take the world for Christ by force, if necessary. There's so much irony there. And governments got involved, legally mandating that citizens align themselves with the correct faith and all the rituals that are associated with that. And the terminology that developed around faith stood in sharp contrast to the spirit of the Christ who made faith possible. Congregations, and I love the hymn, don't get me wrong. Congregations began to sing, "Onward Christian soldiers marching as to war." And again, there's nothing wrong with the hymn because we are in spiritual warfare. We understand all of that. But when we sing the hymn as justifications to send missionaries to subdue cultures instead of serving people, we've done something wrong. Individuals, communities, and eventually nations began to draw these lines of distinction between who was right and who was unright. And predictably, controversy developed, and eventually physical violence as people with convictions held with certainty, fought over differences in beliefs supposedly inspired by the Prince of Peace. Do you see the irony? I mean, it's ironic at best. It's terribly sad at worst. You see, when faith was politicized, when it was institutionalized, peace was compromised. So understandably, people then said, okay, it's not possible here, so let's just push the hope of peace into another dimension, into a future reality that we haven't achieved yet. We'll call it heaven. We'll have peace when we get to heaven, in the sweet by and by. Ignoring the biblical truth that the roots of hope reside in the past and reach into the present, people could identify themselves then as advocates for peace while involving themselves in activities which made peace impossible. We're funny creatures, aren't we? Affirming the teaching of Jesus on peace as good counsel for some time in the future then, people made no effort to understand peacemaking as a contemporary enterprise, and instead relegated it only to the future, or decided we'll talk about it internally and make it something that happens internal, and that's it. But see, once people relegate hope to the future, then they can ignore the urgency of obedience to the Messiah's call to peace and assure one another, well, we just have to live realistically here. It's just not going to happen. Jesus' words, though, keep haunting. Peace be with you. My peace, I give it to you. I give it to you. But we take those words and we interpret it either as a comment on internal peace or a comment about peace in the world to come later, some distant point. Thus, comforted by this internalization of peace, or by the assumption that the ethic of Jesus was intended for some time later, much further away, people then dismiss Christ's imperative to work for peace, and they come to expect conflict. We come to expect conflict as the norm in our present life together, and so therefore we say, well, it's okay, it's just kind of the way things are. Now, understand, I do believe in internal peace. I do believe that God gives us peace that passes all understanding, that something that He gives us that we have inwardly. I get that. I believe that. I do believe that when we get to heaven, there will be peace. No doubt about that. But why would Jesus have said, as I read to the children, why would Jesus have said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called the sons of God? Why would He have said that if He didn't expect us to work on it in the here and now? It's not just inward. It's not just in heaven. It's something we as believers should work on. And it's hard to do, especially when you've got the wrong color ring pop. I mean, that's hard. That's conflict, man. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. I think we institutionalized faith, but I think also that we place conditions on love. Man. Jesus practiced and He commended unconditional love. But somewhere along the way, we being followers of Christ, decided that unconditional love was impractical. Therefore, even people who claimed to follow Jesus decided that they were responsible for loving only the people of whom we approve of. We challenge anyone that wants to be loved and accepted to clean their act up enough to be loved and accepted by us. And indeed, as so often happens, we cloak all of our prejudices in the language of piety. And it goes something like this. You know, if we love those people just like they are, they may never change for the better. Jesus was as driven by compassion as he was by conviction. And when in Jesus' name people, when we condemn and even demonize those who don't believe exactly like we do, peace receives a fatal blow. Jesus included everybody with the embrace of his love. Can we agree on that? For God so loved the world, not just for God so loved Raymond that he sent Jesus. He loved the world. He loved all of creation. He loves everyone. Now, some will choose to accept that. Others will choose to reject that. But he loves everyone. He included everyone. He died for all of us. And when in Jesus' name we restrict our love and welcome fellowship only with those people that we think, behave, and believe, and look, and dress, and think like us, when we do that, peace suffers immeasurably. Now, hear me clearly on this. Make no mistake. Even when Jesus welcomed fellowship, even as he welcomed fellowship with all people, he still spoke the truth in love, okay? He spoke the truth. He was the truth. He is the truth. He said so himself. He said he is the truth. He is the life. He is the way. He is all of those things. But yet he offered fellowship with everyone, even the outcast, even the woman at the well. You talk about a scandal, man. For him to even talk to her, let alone fellowship and minister to her. Talk about the woman that was brought to him in adultery. Her sin was very obvious. But yet he fellowshiped with her. He forgave her. Now he told her to go and sin no more. One of the questions I'm going to ask when I get to heaven is when he bent down and started writing in the sand. You remember the story when they brought the woman caught in adultery? He bent down and he started writing in the sand. And then he said, those of you that's without sin, you go ahead and throw the first rock. What I'd like to think happened, it's because I have a sense of humor, and I think Jesus has a sense of humor, is he bowed down in the dirt and he started writing specific sins and then drawing arrows to people that were close by. I'd like to think that's what he did. I don't know exactly. Scripture doesn't tell us. All I know is that he said, go and sin no more. How about his disciples? He knew they would betray, deny, and desert him. And this was the people that walked and talked with him. But yet he loved them. He spoke the truth. He fellowshiped with them. So what then are we to do with people who are not peaceful? What are we to do with those people who constantly are stirring up something? Constantly. What are we to do with them? My suggestion is that we do as Jesus did. We encourage. We love. Don't participate in the sin. But we encourage and we love. Offer forgiveness. Show a better example. Show them what peace looks like. Look again at the risen Christ. Hear him say, peace be with you. Peace I leave with you. We know what's happened to peace in the past. The story of peace in the stretch of time immediately before us is yet to be written. And you see, we will write that story. You remember the song, Let There Be Peace on Earth? Remember it? What's the next line? And let it begin with me. Peace be with you. That's what Jesus said. And what happens next depends a great extent on people like us. So hear the greeting of the Christ who came from the grave. And as we hear that greeting, Peace be with you. My peace I give to you. That should send us running. Running to the most important places in our lives to take up the work of peacemaking. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. What does that look like in your life? I don't know. Your journey is different from mine. There's some similarities, but the specifics are different. What does peacemaking look like in my life? I'm going to ask God to show me that. What does peacemaking look like in your life? I trust that you're going to ask God to show that to you. Let's pray and ask for His help. Almighty Father, we confess that it's too easy to blame others, to not be peacemakers, to say the least, to lash out when people hurt us, to carry around all the defense mechanisms that we do to keep people from hurting us. God, we pray for your help now, that you would show us specifically in our lives what you would like to change, and that we would surrender that to you. Help us to be obedient. Help us to be peacemakers. Help us to be disciples of the living Christ who says, "Peace be with you." May we follow his example. May we emulate his example so that others, when they see us, they'll have a glimpse into the loving Savior who died for them too. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. I want to challenge you as you're here this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he has a word for you. This is your day. This is your day to receive him and to have a personal relationship. Begin walking with him daily. I'll be here at the front. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment, and I'll be glad to share with you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here and you have that relationship, but you're saying, maybe I just haven't really been living like he wants me to, and I need his help. All of us do. There's a newsflash. All of us need his help. But you have an opportunity this morning to realign, to confess those things that aren't pleasing to him, and ask for his help. Ask for his guidance and strength to make you live the life that would please him. Certainly an appropriate time for that. If you're here this morning and you'd like to be a member of College Park, there are many ways we receive members. I'd be glad to talk with you about it. Whatever your decision is, if you'd like to talk with it, I'll be here at the front. If not, I'd love to talk with you this week. Just give me a call. We'll get together and talk and pray about it. Let's stand and sing together. ask you to be seated for just a moment. Ishmael, come here, buddy. I want to introduce you to Ishmael Stowe. Our youth know Ishmael because I guess they're part of the reason you're here, isn't it? Okay, as our youth were down ministering at the bus station, Ishmael met them down there and met some of our leaders, had a conversation with them, and found out what they were doing and the ministry that they were involved in. And I think in his mind, he said, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. And so he's been worshiping with us now for several months, and he comes this morning requesting church membership. He's coming by statement of faith as a believer. He's been experienced believer's baptism, and he's coming before us today and saying, I want to be a part of this fellowship. And I know that you're going to encourage him and love him. And if you will join me in rejoicing over his decision, would you say amen with me?
Amen.
Fantastic. I want to invite you, after the benediction and after the choir response, come by and greet him. Give him a hug. Give him a handshake. Let him know that you're going to be praying with him and walking with him as a brother and sister in Christ. Amen. All right, would you join me in standing now for our benediction? For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N @collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.